read this for me here. You weren't expecting that.
Resolutions transmit the community assessment and the community participation program of the comprehensive plan of the City of Dunwoody to the Atlanta Regional Commission and the State Board of Community Affairs.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. This item is the first public hearing on your agenda tonight. What we're requesting is approval of a resolution to transmit the community assessment and community participation piece of our comprehensive plan. Essentially what this does is sets the baseline for data and also outlines how we're going to engage the public in this process of creating the agenda, which is the vision goal-setting document. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Michelle Alexander from Pond for the presentation.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, members of council, and people from the City of Dunwoody. As Jennifer mentioned, this is the first part of the comprehensive plan process. We do have a presentation that I'll walk everybody through. Council's heard some of this, sorry for the repeat, but I'm hoping you have folks in the audience who haven't heard about it, and we have some flyers in the back for additional meetings that are going to be coming up. So I'll walk you through the PowerPoint. The comprehensive plan has several components, and it includes both sort of what I know some of your members have already participated in when you were members of task force and part of your homeowner associations and becoming a city. This is going to be your official policy. This is what's going to be on the books and what the state will recognize as you go forward with other plans, like transportation plans, and as you move forward for other funds and grants. So this is going to be your baseline for your policy reference and also, of course, for your land use decisions. It includes existing conditions and trends and future needs in addition to, with your vision. And then it puts together, towards the end of the process, a comprehensive policy, set of policies. And again, it's for pulling together from all your departments. And the way the state of Georgia has guidelines and rules that we have to follow, so it's not just city council that's going to look up and put thumbs up or thumbs down on what gets put forward, but then the state checks it over and makes sure that we meet certain guidelines. And the state also determines the names of the pieces of this comprehensive plan and how it's organized. So I'm going to blame them if we don't like the names, because sometimes something called a community agenda sounds a little confusing with your agenda for the evening. They're two different things. So, but these are the way the state has organized them. And the main pieces is this community assessment. We're going to go into some of the details of that in just a little bit. And there's a plan. Not only are we required to do outreach and involve everybody, but we're supposed to go through council, and council's going to approve that we've got a document so anyone in the community can say, hey, what about me? Well, we've got a plan of how we're going to make sure folks get to have an input on this, on the comprehensive plan. And then the main reason you're going through all this effort and energy is to have this document called the Community Agenda. Like I said, it really focuses on the process of getting folks to participate in what your vision is going to be, what your strategy is going to be, and your plan of action. I want to remind you, it's both for short term, there's a 5-year component where you get down to brass tacks, steps, and action items. It's a little long range, so when we talk about what's the future going to look like, it's out to the year 2030. So you're trying to think, well, all the changes that are going to come to the region and then affect the city and the choices you can make from now till then, how you want to look. And that's called the community agenda, all those pieces. The first piece, again, the state requires that we have this meeting so that everyone can be aware that there are meetings taking place so that you know how the process is going through and what the dates are going to be. And we're also going to, at this first public hearing tonight, talk a little bit about the community assessment itself. And I needed to check in with Jennifer about availability on the web. I know sometimes I didn't know if it was already on the web and when we can anticipate components being available.
Yes, we've made some good strides in the last few weeks getting the community development portion of the website more accessible with these sorts of documents. As you can see if you're reading them, they're high gloss, colorful, fold out, very expensive to print. So we're trying to put as much on the website as possible. All of the documents in front of you tonight are on the website, as well as an introduction to those items. We're also going to be posting a press release and a flyer with all of the meeting dates tomorrow morning.
Thank you. And it is tough on all of the different components. So thank you to Webmaster and all the administration that goes behind it, because This document, for folks who haven't known about it, has a lot of maps and a lot of graphics that are, you know, the reproduction and even loading up and having the web capacity and your server capacity does take some effort to organize. So that's going to be important to us all along, to make sure that documents and results of meetings get posted to the web page as well as other media outlets. To talk a little bit now about the activities to date. So the community assessment has a document. It's got two components. The first part, we call it the executive summary. There's different names for it, just the assessment itself, where you try to have a very useful piece where it summarizes key elements of your city and the profile of your city. And it goes through a whole range. It's population, it's housing, it's economic development, it's transportation, it's natural resources, and it's cultural resources. In the back, to support that summary, is why this document is so thick. Tons of data, tons of tables, lots of maps and specific references so people can look it up. I'm especially pleased in this document that we went through for the historic preservation and to really catalog in one place as a set of resources about historic preservation. And that's a piece in here. In addition to that, the community assessment also does do some forecasting about your population. We'll go through that a little bit. And some forecasting just based on today's data. So we know your policy is going to influence that, but just based on historical data, we put some trends together in this assessment. In addition to that, there's requirements for different kinds of maps and policy, setting up policy so that when we go into the community meetings in a couple of weeks and through the summer, you as a community are armed. You have data. You can say, well, I feel like this is going on. It seems like this is going on. Well, what's the data say? Let's look up. So you're armed with data. That's the whole point, to make this fat document so that you have data available to use as we have these conversations. And with that, we'll have some preliminary ideas about areas in the city. We posted just two of the maps in large. They're not very informative from where you're sitting, but just to give you a sense, and I'll talk more in detail about them, but what are the areas of the city that seem to need special attention, and what are some of the areas that we define character areas? What kind of development is going on in the community and organizing? And those are some of the required components. So some of the findings, just to go very briefly on some of the main items, to look at, we use census data as a baseline data. You have one of your census tracts outside the city, so there's going to be a couple. If you look at different sources, that'll be different maybe by 20 people or 25 people, but it's for your base on the year 2000, your population was around 39,000 people. And we're looking at, we included data there for 2008 to do an estimate. You say you have around 43,000 people now. And we project that out to the year 2030 to say at about, you'll be around 53,000 people by the year 2030. So this helps when you think about how many households you have, what the police force, your service needs are going to be, your roads, your commercial, and your institutional and office tax base, those kind of components. Another piece of this, when we broke down and looked at key indicators, has to do with your income and looking at organizing income by income bracket and kind of going through a percentage of how many folks are making $100,000, $250,000. And we also look at what your median income household income is. In 2000 was around $78,000. And in 2008, the median household income, the estimate for this, for the year 2008, was around $99,000 as a median household income. There is and then forecasting that out, this is comparing. What this document also does is compare. So it gives you information. How do you compare to the county? Yes, sir.
Oh, are those inflation neutral? So are they assuming that it's current dollar values, so 99,000 to 116,000 is a net increase in value?
That's right. Okay. And in that sense, when you go up to 2030, when people want to debate or you want to give us different numbers on that, I don't argue, because by 2030, if exactly your point, inflation and what does it mean in terms of spending capacity.
Right. So it's constant dollars.
Yeah.
today's document?
It is.
Okay, good. Rob, what do you do?
Yeah, otherwise we'll get into a lot of methodological of our assumptions, but it's important to keep that in mind. So, you know, what does it actually mean when we use this data?
The population numbers going from 39 to 43, are you using projections based on what's happened over the past 10 years as a way of extrapolating that forward?
That's right. It's based on historical data, but I also looked at permits.
But if you look at a couple of things that happened, one, zoning created that. We had unbridled growth because of apartments being built that didn't have infrastructure in mind.
Yes.
And secondly, we're running out of space to put people. And the only way to add that amount of people would be to zone upward.
And the 2030, so to the year 2008 is historical data, and also I checked on permits. But beyond that, I did restrain that. So if I had let the numbers go all by themselves, you were out towards about 75,000, and we did think that was going to be reasonable given exactly the constraints. And so that was pulled back. It's making some assumptions about your existing approved DRIs and number of units and scaling it back to see what would make sense of a more restrained rate of growth. So it was definitely pulled back. That's an important point. And, of course, what policy choices you make in the future would affect that number. So this is mostly based on historical, but we did do some empirical to make sure it was reasonable for your city and what's available space. This was just pointing out how you compare to the county and to the state as a whole. And we also pulled so you could see how you do if you're under sister cities in the area. I know that was on a lot of people's mind. I see already how Milton is getting certain grants. How do we compare to that? So we put a lot of extra data in there above and beyond what the state requires. So you can get a sense how are we doing for the size of our city, for our tax base, and for our residential profile. A big piece of this, of course, has to do with what does your current use of land look like? And so we pulled some data and we gave some percentages to look at how is land currently being used. So we present that, and as you are very aware, most of your land is being used for residential. That's the main, what comprises most of the land use in your city.
Your estimate, your increase in your books there, your, well, higher much assumption was, but we're assuming that one of these days we're going to have those parks. I think that's about 70 acres low, I think, in that neighborhood.
Is forest considered parkland, or is parkland forest? I mean,
One of the disparities you might be considering there is the fact that a lot of institutional intensive is the way Atlanta Regional Commission classifies institutional intensive. It's actually parkland that's owned by DeKalb and used for some of their facility space. So I would, like you said, you're missing about 70 acres. We estimated out it was about 148 acres. So that might be where that issue is coming from.
The map that you see that from which this data is drawn is from the Atlanta Regional Commission, ARC. So that's what he's referring to in terms of how they categorize the different types
of
uses.
So they multi-categorize some areas that we can use?
They just divide it differently so that what's classified as parks by the Department of Parks and in DeKalb County is actually broken up. What's actually used as park land, open space, versus what's actually used as some of the park facilities or buildings or skate park or things of that nature. So it's a little more intensive.
And there's a two-page table in this document that goes through how they're defining each one of those categories. You can go back one. The different categories. So it's a little clear. It was hard to scan that other map. And then you go to your next map. So they identified where they say he was talking about extensive and intensive institutional. Some of that may account for the difference in the acreage. After going through, obviously that is just a very tiny sliver of all the information that you now have compiled from the different departments and from the different types of sets of resources. From that, we pulled together a preliminary list, and I emphasize it's preliminary. It's just saying, when I look at this data, I have not been involved with the community's values and the different public and political meetings in the past. When I just look at the data, there's a list of the issues and opportunities that jump out just from letting the data speak. So we put together a preliminary list of issues and opportunities, and when we go through the community meetings and we have workshops, then we'll go through and refine that and hear, well, what is the community value and what do you care about? What are issues that you all want to make sure you have policies to address? So it will be refined over time through the public process. But what they do is help frame and prioritize the city's discussion. So we'll have a set of issues and opportunities based on what was presented here. We also conducted a quality community objective survey, and we did that with staff to say, what do you have on your books? What are the things that the city might need to meet the goals and targets of the state at the high level, and say, you know, from a policy, here's what a good community looks like. Okay, so those are quality, they say quality community objectives, and as you go through, you see, well, is that what's a priority for us? We're required to include this in your comprehensive plan, but when you get down and decide what are the policies we care about, you really don't want a laundry list. You don't want everything in the kitchen sink. You really want to have the select issues and opportunities that matter to you. So, okay, state, you've told us what defines a good community, and some of the, and that may be useful, and now we're going to define it more precisely and say how we want to invest our resources in the future and make value statements about our policy. Some of the issues that came up when we were looking at issues and opportunities, and again, I won't read each and every one of these pieces, but looking at things that we'll need to talk about as we go into the community agenda and come into the community meetings and talk about the different housing choices that are available. Are you satisfied when you look at the numbers that this is meeting the needs of your community? We brought up some points about in the future your aging population by 2030 is expected to be about 23%. As a region, it'll be around 20%, so it's not unusual, but what can we start thinking about now? Is our housing choice going to be sufficient as we get more and more of our population in the 65 and over group? There's also a question about looking at thinking about the affordability. Is that an issue for you? We present you the numbers, and do you consider that an issue sufficient for the numbers that you have? Your population is somewhat diversifying. It's slowly diversifying, but you are about now around 12% Hispanic and about 10% Asian and about 9%, I don't have the table in front of me, African American. So you are starting to have more diversity in the community, and we're really looking forward when we come to the community meetings that you help us make sure there's representation from this diversity and about thinking about your future and how that'll affect the kind of policies that you want to make sure are in place, and what kind of opportunities you want to take advantage of as you put together your overall strategic plan. We talked a little bit about the land use of currently the composition of it. We know that analyzing some of this is hindered because of GIS. GIS is a certain data that lets you look at your parcels. And we know that that's going to, once you have that information more available to you, that'll be easier for you to do some more sub-area specific planning. That's not, you know, that's something that's not in your control up to now. The county has been behind on that. So that that's put a challenge for putting together your maps and getting sources so folks can manipulate and understand how are we using our land use and what's the best way to use it into the future. For economic development, we know some of the things that are quote-unquote issues, things you want to face, it's because you're a new city. You haven't had time to put together any of these things, but for example, looking at a business development strategy and looking at how to consider the impact of the recession right now and also to think about for the future that you do have some opportunities because you've got lots of training opportunities. You're very educated, and of course, as you well know, and sure are very proud of. So you've got lots of resources here for future, for taking advantage of as you develop an economic development plan. transportation. We took from, I want it's important to mention this because we took from existing data on transportation. And so one of the DeKalb County has undertaken a comprehensive transportation plan that they did not adopt, but the consultants that put it together have all this data available. So we presented what some of the data was, at least as it pertained to Dunwoody. And to be clear, we clarified, that was one of the things that we amended in from an earlier draft that council had seen. We made clear that that was from DeKalb County. The city will be undertaking its own transportation plan, and during that time we'll specify priorities and projects and preferences. As I mentioned, natural culture resource, one of the things that's exciting is your Sustainability Commission. That is a very exciting opportunity in that you have folks already taking charge with that. You can take advantage of grants and other opportunities that are made available from the state and now from federal, and through the region getting recognized for some of your sustainable measures. That's a big opportunity to take advantage of. And obviously through the agenda process when we have community meetings, we'll be soliciting out and getting more information so we can put in there a program into your policy, if that makes sense, for you to go ahead and adopt through this process. And then community facilities and services. One thing that would jump out, and it's just a data thing, it's just the numbers said there's a standard that, a national standard about how many parks per, how many acres per 1,000 people parks. So you just ran a number, and we saw it was about 3.3 acres per 1,000 people. I put that as an issue, but you know, you have a lot of other facilities available through private parks and other recreation, so it may not be an issue once we go through the community agenda because you've got other facilities and private and religious sources of recreation and open space in other ways. So just a way to demonstrate how we use this data, how we put together this list, this preliminary list of issues and opportunities. Another piece of this is called areas requiring special attention. So the state says, look, you know, help and work with local communities to think about things that you might not have been on your radar. And so the state prompts us with items and areas geographically in the community where you might have land use that's going to change, where there's redevelopment that's necessary, where you might notice disinvestment. What are your natural cultural resources, and let's map them out so we can pay attention to them and they're on our radar. Where do you have structures or vacant sites, certain areas that you want to make sure that the city is going to pay attention to, or potentially vacating sites, as well as we added a category about special economic or aesthetic potential where you've got resources that you want to make sure you cultivate and want to put it on the map and make sure we pay attention to. And one of those we added on the map was, for example, entryways that you want to consider. These are potential gateways. They may not currently have anything extraordinary aesthetic appeal, but let's put them on there to say this is where the city is demarcated. Do you want to demarcate it in the future? And that's the map, and it's the one that's on the boards over there. We'll leave these boards again. I think I left you very large ones, so these are a little more reasonably sized if you want to have them available, extra ones at City Hall. And congratulations on your new digs that you all moved to a new location, because that is going to be, that's one thing we noticed, that for facilities, we are going to be very important to talk about long-term City Hall facilities and police facilities. We noticed that in there as something that we know is going to be important to come through the community agenda. So another piece, it's separate now. So there's areas of special attention. It's sort of here is a statement of things to keep track of and facilities to keep track of and natural resources. Character areas is a little different. Character area map talks about some of the existing development patterns and says, again, the preliminary set of considering the character of the development in the city. And we assign these names, and you may consider them as we go through with the community agenda. By the time you're done with your comp plan, you're going to have your own map of who do we want to be in the future. And so this will probably change, you'll redefine it, and you'll help us give some policy language of what do you want the future development types to look like and the type of built environment or the type of natural environment that you want to preserve. And we'll do an exercise about preserving and change, things you want to preserve and change. So that was just a preliminary. You see a lot of green there, and while I think on the task force, I believe that differentiated by neighborhood and types of neighborhood, we put them together in terms of the type of land use and the type of developments there. And that may be too unrefined, so we're looking forward to getting feedback on that as we go through the community agenda and put together your future development map during the rest of the comp plan process. And just to recap about how this process all will unfold through the next few months, there is a steering committee that's been established, and we're going to have our first meeting this week. And is there anyone from the steering? I know there's at least one person from the steering committee. So we're going to say thank you ahead of time. There's going to be a lot of more night meetings, especially as we wrap up and get towards the end of the process and start putting together policies and did you hear correctly at the community meetings, what we thought we heard. But in addition, we're having community meetings in the month of June. You see June 2nd and June 23rd, July 7th, and then in August. So there's a kickoff meeting June 2nd, a similar presentation as we're going through tonight, just so people know what to expect. We will go through some of the issues and opportunities more in detail. And then towards the end, once we've heard from everybody, we've had a couple of meetings on specific topics through the summer, and then we'll come back in September and present. This is what we've heard. Here's how we put it together, the recommendations that we're making to go toward to council and do some final refinements. The final document, we're looking to have a draft by the middle of November, and then a series of public hearings to give folks a chance to, just like this kind of presentation, a formal public hearing, and then ideally by December that you're ready to transmit. And another word about the transmittal, I mentioned that the state also keeps track of us, so at the end, we're ready to transmit, doesn't mean the city's adopted it. The state is going to say, you've got to wait 60 days, give us a chance to look it over, make our comments, and we'll make any refinements if necessary. We'll bring it back to council. You may or may not want to make them. They're not mandated, they're not required to take their comments. And if there's a dispute, there's a process to manage that. If you just don't agree with what the state is telling you they want to see changed, there's a process for us to manage that. We don't anticipate that, but just to let you know. And then finally, so everyone's aware, this comprehensive planning process, you also can amend your comp plan. You can amend it at any time. It still requires a public hearing. Take it seriously. You don't want to have to change it. You want to have predictability for folks coming in who move here or want to invest here or develop here. You want to have some predictability. But you can make minor amendments. Or you can make major amendments. And there's a whole set of rules that keep track and say, you know, it's not up to the, say, a future council. You don't have to worry that a future council going to undo all our hard work. Well, there's a process they have to go through, bring back in the community to make sure they're on board with any changes. So while it's a serious document, it's a legal basis for some of your land use decisions, you don't have to be afraid to vote and adopt it because you know that if something changes in the future, there's a process for making changes as you need to. I think I ran through what the next few steps are. I know I kind of went kind of quickly, but I also know there's a lot of information, and I didn't know if council wanted to have any questions or follow-up from the presentation. Thank you.
I think it's going to be very necessary for the steering committee to all hear your brief once, maybe twice, as we get into this. I assume that's planned, and
yes.
Because this is a lot of
information. It's a lot. You're absolutely right.
I don't know how that's set up, so I'm sure you've got a plan for that somewhere along the way.
And we repeat, we do an orientation at every meeting because we know we're going to have the community meetings as well to walk everyone through. I mean, we hope we'll keep getting different people, and so different people come to the meetings, you get a wide perspective. But yeah, that's a good point. We do intend to repeat and walk everyone through all the details.
Okay. Yeah, Dan.
Is there a process for updating this plan other than through amendments? I mean, do you, when you put together a business plan, you put together a 1, 3, or 5 year plan, mm-hmm. and you redo this every year or so. Is there a vehicle for updating this plan as we move along this 20-year timeline?
Well, there are some fixed some dates we put in regarding the short-term work program, so you'll probably want to address that every year. You will still have to do a public, it wouldn't be considered an amendment, but you will do an update on your short-term work program. That's the action item for every 5 years. What did we achieve? What did we not achieve? And why not? And so you'll do that. You'll probably want to do that annually, especially if you do proceed with an impact fee program. That'll be required. So you can choose to do this annually. We would recommend you do the short-term work program as part of an impact fee. You'd be required to. The minor amendment is it does not involve as an extensive public participation as the major amendment, but it requires a public hearing. So it would be a similar process. You'd want any policy to update that you have a public hearing on it. So a minor amendment isn't as extensive. It's up to you, but you're only required to do one public hearing. And then another option, every 5 years, you would do another update automatically. But again, it's going through a public hearing. Aside from that, if there's edits or things like that, still want to, announce what any of the changes are. Are you saying to make it a little more?
No, I just wondered if there was a process.
Yeah. Aside from it. But annually you want to, we would recommend that annually you'll want to check your short-term work program and update that and have a process. And we do encourage city councils to tie it to your budget. You're not required to do that, but it sure helps keep it a real document so that your staff can do it ahead of time, look at what their needs are and what they've been mandated from you to perform, and then see that as you're coming through your budget that you're sticking through, putting dollars to those resources and the mandates.
So it's a living document, what you're telling me.
If you make it that way. We hope to work with you to make it that way. Not all cities use it that way, but we'd like to set it up so you get your money's worth. But you're going through a lot of effort now, so, it can be, and we hope.
I went through the draft from last week. I must acknowledge I have not gone through any changes that you made, but are there any major changes that you made, or is it just additions that you added to the document that we were presenting last week?
I'll ask Jennifer if she would consider them major. I didn't see major. I saw some corrections, like one of the maps where it was a population map about changes. It was a radical percentage change, so we put in proper numbers for that.
This one I'm telling Mel you're talking about.
And as well as that, that has been removed and corrected. Thank you. We do have a list of those kind of edits, but I didn't see major changes.
There wasn't any change that I would consider significant. There were the comments made at the work session, which was the big red dot on the map that didn't make sense, and there was also the discussion of the methodology on data, so that was then clarified. I also went through the document and cleared up some typos and some names that didn't make sense and things like that, but there was nothing. If you read that, you've got 99.9%.
The one thing we did add on the facilities to talk about not just police facilities, for example, but for City Hall in general to expand on that. We did that made sense. So that was one of the issues to add. That was something that's a policy point to keep in mind.
Any other questions?
I guess maybe it's a small one, but find major and minor.
The amendment? A major and minor amendment? For major amendments, they do define it as, they give a list. So, for example, if you do an update and you have a whole new sewer plan, that's going to be major and that's going to affect. And you should update your comprehensive plan if you're going to have a new sewer plan or a new set of facilities that will change the land development options. Another major is if you've gone through and you've noticed that your future development map, those character areas, you say this is the kind of development we want for our future, but the kind of zonings are coming up and you're wrestling with it, and it looks like it's going to change by 10%. That is, the council has changed and wanted to change your future development map. Currently, you probably use your future land use map. That changes by 10%. Then you're supposed to, the state wants you to kick in and do a major, they'll call it a major amendment. So they have some criteria.
Criteria.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, well done.
Absolutely. All right, so with that, with no objections, I'm going to open the public comments section of this public hearing. Anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this resolution, if you could please make your way to the podium. All right, anybody that wishes to speak in opposition to this, please make your way to the podium. All right, with no objections, I'm going to close public comments. And also, we'll close this public hearing. Do I need to take a vote on that, City Attorney? All right. All right, so we're on the resolution.
I move we adopt the comprehensive plan assessment and process document that we've been presented.
Thank you, Robert.
Second.
Mr. Hennigan, I think you had that.
Sorry.
Any discussion? Yeah, the next one. It was close, but I'm any discussion on that? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I touch on 2 points?
Please.
I just wanted to confirm that although we are living in the age of web and documented and whatnot, we do have a hard copy that is available in our office. So if somebody does not have web access, we do have availability to this document. And secondly, I wanted to do a little bit of outreach right now to say that our first public meeting, where we get everybody in a room and we do the exercises and we start talking about what we want, is a week from tonight, June 2nd. And we'll be here at the United Methodist Church, and we will be in the Fellowship Hall. Because I've been to a Dunwoody Homeowners Association annual meeting, and I know we can get 300 people to come to this meeting. So I'm going to be sincerely disappointed if you don't fill the room. I'm going to be sending out a number of flyers and press releases over the next few days, but I would ask for everyone's assistance. Let's do this a little viral, and just everybody flip it to 10 people, and we'll fill the room.
What time?
7 p.m. Thank you.
What day of the week?
Tuesday, June 2nd.
Oh, there's one, me. Dr. Elbin is here. Is there any way that we can move that up to the agenda now?
All right, we have a proclamation. Let me read this